subtle because it wouldn't work if it wasn't. Please dance here is not going to cut it. The end result is that patrons go back to work a week later talking about what a blast they had. There were even people dancing on the bar. Protect me. Unfortunately, a common worldview is to be afraid. There are plenty of things to be afraid of. A broken dishwasher out of warranty. Anthrax. Allergies. Getting trapped inside your car. The flu. Even sounding dumb at a cocktail party. While these fears are wildly different, they represent the very same reflex. If your worldview is about protecting yourself or your family, you'll respond extremely well to an offer that's framed in terms of your fear. No, this won't appeal to everyone in a given marketplace, but those grappling with fear are unlikely to respond to anything else. Last year, some people were paralyzed with fear about shark attacks in the Atlantic Ocean. Yet almost no one was mauled, never mind killed. The story was featured in the news and discussed on the beach, but it was only that, a story. It was part of the worldview that many people carried with them. In fact, you are 250 times more likely to be killed by a deer in a car crash than by a shark. And there were more gerbil attacks reported in New York in one year than shark bites in Florida in that same year. The facts, of course, are completely irrelevant. What matters is what sort of story we're open to hearing. Every day, people are afraid to get on airplanes, even though they are far safer than the car we take to get to the airport. Fear isn't rational. That's what makes it fear, not common sense. Are you marketing a camel? The Acumen Fund is one of the most extraordinary nonprofit organizations operating today. It is working hard to enable the world's poorest people to become active participants in the world marketplace as consumers, entrepreneurs, and employees. The challenge is not in the facts. The facts are terrific. The challenge is the story. Jacqueline Novogratz, one of my heroes, is the CEO of Acumen, and she envisions an organization that will take the best of the nonprofit world and blend it with the best elements of capitalism. She's trying to help the poor in Africa, Pakistan, and Egypt to succeed without being seen as victims. Her model is to raise a fund, she already has $20 million, and use it to invest in locally run companies that offer a product that the poor can afford. Companies selling these items actually raise the standard of living for their customers. For example, A to Z markets mosquito-repellent window shades in Tanzania. For about $6, a family can be malaria-free for 5 years. The cost of frequent quinine injections, not to mention the risk of death, is far higher than the cost of an A to Z net. A to Z makes a profit. Dozens of Africans get good jobs in manufacturing and sales. The villagers save money, and Acumen gets a return on its investment. And that's the problem. Acumen isn't set up as a traditional NGO, giving charity to people in need. Jacqueline believes that this is counterproductive, an inefficient dead end. Instead, Acumen takes a cut in the companies it invests in, or earns interest on the loans they make to companies. The grant makers, government agencies, and foundations that Acumen needs to work with have a worldview that's based on generations of experience. They believe that what they do has value, and they're not inclined to believe a story that begins with, "Traditional philanthropy doesn't help the poor very well." On the other hand, the investment banks, wealthy individuals, and hedge funds that are used to making returns on their money have a worldview that says, "We don't care particularly what we invest in. We need our rate of return to beat the industry average by at least X basis points." Acumen's story doesn't register with this audience because they temper their lower-than-market returns with the explanation that they're also doing social good. If they start with the facts instead of a story, Acumen will be stuck between a rock and a hard place. They have a powerful vision and amazing successes in the works, but the hardest part of their project is here at home, telling the right story to the right people. Big philanthropies hesitate to give because it challenges their model, and big investors hesitate to invest because it doesn't meet their threshold of monetary success. Traditional marketing thinking would encourage you to just try harder, to hammer again and again on the masses, the big organizations, with lots of money to invest. Acumen found a different path. They are choosing to tell a story to those dissatisfied with the traditional stories charities would like them to believe. They are reaching entrepreneurs looking for a different, more efficient philanthropic alternative, as well as foundations that are eager to make a name for themselves by funding organizations with a non-traditional approach to philanthropy. Imagine some possible oxymorons. Non-donation philanthropy, long-term social investments, return on philanthropy, social capital dividends. The frustrated donors and the restless investors that Acumen appeals to are clearly at the fringes of their communities. But that's okay. Acumen is crafting a story that these early adopters can tell to their colleagues. They tell their story to the subset of the audience that wants to hear it. At a conference of investors, why not say, only 10% of you want to hear this story, but that's okay, and then tell the story. By refusing to water down the story, by matching it to the worldview of the audience, Acumen can find those who want to believe it. Step one is to offer a thrilling story to the people at the edges who want to hear it. Step two is to back that story up with authentic action and proof that it works. Then, the bet is the worldview of, I want to be like my more successful colleagues, will enable the believers to overcome the desire among their peers to take no risk. As Acumen's idea infects those communities, it ought to be able to grow by spreading a new story to people who want to hear it. On the other hand, Neiman Ranch, the leading purveyor of free-range and organic meats, has just announced organically raised free-range lard. They almost nailed the oxymoron. Then, alas, they said, quote, we'll probably be calling it sandu, the French word for lard, Frankie Whitman at Neiman said. We thought lard has too negative a connotation. Yikes. It seems to me that the negative connotation was the best chance they had to tell a story. Go ahead. Tell me a story.